All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. And today we're going to be covering a subject that I'm basically breaking down the phrase, you can love women or you can understand women, but you can't do both. Now, this briefing has been dumbed down to the grunt level, and once you hear this and you understand how it works, I'm sorry in advance, but you're probably going to look at the opposite sex completely differently. If you take a job where your productivity is measured, it becomes way more difficult to fuck with you, because your value to that company is directly determined by these numbers. And if your numbers are good enough, it goes a long way to giving you that little thing called, that's right, benefit of the doubt. Because money talks and bullshit walks. When you can measure productivity, along with that comes accountability. Why else would women accept poverty wage jobs? And not just some of them, an overwhelming amount. Those poverty wage jobs have one thing in common, a lack of accountability. But because you make more money than they do, every time you go out, they're gonna flock all over you. That could be good or bad. Either way, use a fake name. I am Scott McTavish. I'm from Scotland. I'm trying to lose my accent. That's why I sound so funky. I am Chief Kickabitch from the Slap-A-Hoe Nation. Do you want to come to my casino? Bendy Dick Cummins Snatch. I'm from the Czech Republic. You don't have to use those names. They're just some of my favorites. In fact, if you have a story where a fake name got you laid, I really want to hear that one.
Redonkulous.com Productions presents The Working Man's Survival Guide in the Woke Era. 97 hilarious minutes of job security and risk management designed to help men keep their jobs and their heads in the insane world of office politics. Available on July 4th for $100. Paid supporters on GiveSendBro, Locals, and Subscribestar will save $20. Mark your calendars and go to work.
All right, now, the board behind me. All right, over here, you'll see we've got drama or trauma or T-drama, programming, looks, and abilities. And let me explain what these are. A lot of women today pull out the trauma word, and they think they experienced all this trauma growing up, and some women have. There's all kinds of bad people out there, and things happen. But most of the time, it's bullshit, petty things that just didn't go their way. Like, life is hard, and sometimes it rolls up against you. Men, we take it with a grain of salt, and we roll with the punches. Women put it in the trauma category. If they grew up in a single mother household, more than likely they're going to have a lot of drama as well. Coming out of the gate, most of the women in the West, they're cuckoo in the head, all right? Plus maybe the other one, but I'm not going to go there. All right, next, programming. All right, now what I mean by that is, what were they taught in school? What were they taught at home by example? I.e., if their mother was a feminist or a single mother, they're going to have some very negative programming. And they might not even know it. You'll ask a lot of these girls today, hey, are you a feminist? They'll look you in the face and go, I certainly am not.
You sit on a throne of lies.
But when you ask additional questions, you find out that, yes, they are. They just don't seem to know it yet. And it is what it is. That's the programming I'm talking about. And that goes along with what they're taught in school as well. From what I saw, K through 12, it is so skewed to benefit the women and handicap the men. It's unbelievable. I mean, is there any... I'm not shocked we have so many of these people who are, you know, transgender, because they've never had any strong male role models in their lives. But that's another video. Next, we have looks. Listen, women are all about the looks. I remember hanging out when I was in school. Women were always, hanging around in certain cliques, and most of those cliques were based off looks. You had like the uber popular girls who were 8s, 9s, and 10s. And then you had, you know, the 7s and 6s, the 5 and the 4s, and then the 4 and the 3 picked to meet off the ugly women. That's just how it goes. And depending upon their experience in their younger years will determine, you know, factors down the road in regards to looks. And next we have abilities. Like men, we look for, you know, cooking, loyalty, you know, fit, feminine, friendly. They're very simple. Women, well, they've been taught by the school districts with the feminist ideals that they want to be the alpha, you know, the alpha woman in the equation. Basically, they want to be the second man in the relationship somewhere down the road. And we all know, you know, two scrotums in one relationship is one scrotum too many. From all four of these ladies usually develop a self-image number 1 through 10, okay? And let's face it, because of Walt Disney and all of the, let's say, the propaganda, you know, beauty at any size, what have you, a lot of these women are literally like, I'm a 10.
Are you serious?
So they're coming out of the gate out of high school thinking they're a 10. A lot of these girls have already acquired the thousand cock stare because, let's face it, a lot of women in high school today, or young girls in high school today, get sexually active roughly between 14 and 16. And it's fairly common for, you know, a lot of these high school girls to walk across the stage, get their high school diploma, and have a minimum of 6 bodies, you know, on their belt. They've already pretty much destroyed their ability to pair bond from the very beginning.
Let's pretend that's not true.
Yeah.
It's nothing but a train wreck from there. All right, now, women, they go out, they look for these men. Now, there's 4 criteria here, and I put them in the order that, you know, women usually prioritize this. Number 1 being fun. Is he fun? Now, listen, if you are a dude and you are an 8, 9, or 10 in looks, you're automatically going to peg the fun meter, especially if she is below, you know, your looks factor. So you're going to have a high fun score there. But the fun factor pretty much goes down 3 per year you're in the relationship. Okay, listen, people get bored. You know, a lot of men have fixed routines. In the beginning, they're great. But as time goes, you know, you can only see so many movies, go to so many restaurants. Okay, and most men don't have the resources to source a new fun activity every weekend. Say you're rocking a 10 in fun, you're a really good-looking dude. After a year, you're a 7 in the fun category. Another year, you know, 3 down from that, you're basically 4. Once you go below 5, more than likely you're going into the, how shall we say this, the trade group.
Yeah, she'll be trading up.
You just don't know it yet. Next, we have benefits. All right. Now, if you have a lot of money and you can't afford a lot of the artificial fun, you're willing to pay her bills and clean up all her debt or whatever, she's going to put you high in the benefits. You know, you are high on the benefit to her. The minute this drops to 5 or below, you're in the rotation to get swapped out for another penis.
I have several men in rotation.
All right, next we have status. That's a 1 through 10. The status must be equal to or greater than her. If you don't meet those 2 criteria, you are temporary. And I would argue if you're on the same level as her status-wise, you're still temporary. Because as soon as another dude shows up that's higher in status than you, you're gone.
Next!
That's just how it works. And then we have need. I put number 4 here, need. Most of the young ladies today, because they're indoctrinated feminists, will tell you right to their face, I don't need a man, I just want a man. And the need doesn't really come to the forefront of their minds until roughly after, you know, 32, 33 years old. And then they're like, holy crap, you know, 40 to 80 is a long time. I'm going to have to do this for another half a century. Oh, my Lord, I don't want to do it. So the need goes up, especially if her resources are plateaued or going down. All right, now, most women out there don't work high-power career jobs. They just work regular jobs, meaning they don't really get paid enough to have this, you know, big retirement or anything like that. So that in basically adds to the need level here.
I need it!
All right, now, as these numbers go down, because let's face it, you know, if you lose your job, have a bankruptcy, get sued, you lose your money, you lose your status, the benefit number goes down, the status numbers go down, and guess what? You get put in the trade pile. I've heard hundreds of stories about guys who got sick, got injured, got fired, quit their jobs, death in the family, mental illness, what have you. The minute that shows up on the radar, they are literally putting you in the ejection seat of the aircraft looking for another pilot. All right. I can't tell you how many times guys said, well, I thought everything was good. Then I broke my leg and I couldn't work for 6 months. I got served divorce papers. Or my company got bought out and guess what? I didn't make the cut and there you go. Look, life throws you curves. If they need you and it's a yes, they only stay as long as needed. You know, as long as they need you, i.e., there's lots of guys out there who paid off student loans and other debts for women. And as soon as they were paid off, guess what? Gone. She didn't need you anymore. So that's how it works. All right. Fun, benefit, status, need. Those are the four things women look for in a partner that they want to keep on the regular or long term. And in today's day and age, this is a depreciating number. So more than likely, no matter what you do, sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in the ejection seat, probably without a parachute. All right. So when this happens, you know your replacement is on deck. And he might be warming up in the batter's box, if you know what I mean, before any of this hits you. All right. Now, if this happens to you, after you've seen this briefing, and you say, I didn't see it coming, I warned you.
I warned you.
All right, I am trying to give you a heads up that you are secretly getting moved into the ejection seat. And when they blow the canopy and you hit the silk, if you have a parachute, it's a long fall and a hard landing every single time. And remember this, gentlemen, you don't own her. It's just your turn. Winning. Take it easy.